did you find this?
Yo, 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 Craig's here.
Craig's here, and we're working with a fucking skeleton crew today. It's just us three.
Just three men. I guess Craig is considered a man. I don't know how he identifies, but...
Yeah, it's, and you know what? We accept Craig for whoever Craig is.
Craig is generally a man's name.
That's true, historically.
Except for Jenny Craig, you know, I guess.
That's true. Maybe it's like there's like a Craig and a comma for his first name. It's a formal announcement. All right, so Shane's on vacation. Albuquerque, very much on the grid.
He went to a town that I've profiled before that... I believe that's the episode we had Evan on, and he had been there, and he really liked that town, too. I've always wanted to go to Albuquerque, if anything, just for the food and the Hatch chili peppers.
I'm going to not tell Shane this, but when he comes back or when he listens to the episode, I'm going to be like, what the fuck, dude? We asked for bolo ties with turquoise.
Right, and I will also have to ask him, though, if he did any of the things that I mentioned on the episode. You probably didn't even remember.
I think he's there for work, so it's not like he's having fun.
Oh, it's not like a sightseeing thing?
I think so. Who knows? He's either working or playing Magic the Gathering. So okay. It's work either way.
But, dude, it's March. We got March Madness going on. We've already had a bunch of crazy games. So we had Colorado, the play-in team, beat and like had a crazy game today. And it was probably the highest scoring college game I've ever seen. And the final score was 102 to 100. And the over on that game was like maybe 151 going into it. They blew that shit out.
Walker put together a sleeper, you know, bracket for all of us. And Ryan and I both joined. I was in last place as of this morning. I don't know. The only college basketball player I know is Caitlin Clark. That's it.
Sure, sure. And that's women's.
Right.
That's women's basketball, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that bracket started today as well, too.
So when I put the men's bracket together, I picked Houston over Arizona. And the tiebreaker is total points, and I put 98 because I thought it was funny. Too much Big Ten football.
I think I did like 140 or something like that. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun. I didn't know Sleeper had bracket capabilities like that. So when he sent me the invite, I was like, holy crap, this is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
There's like 12 of us in it. I'm somewhere in the middle right now. Today kind of tanked me. I did really good yesterday. I only missed 4 games. So that's pretty good. But there was a lot of upsets today so far. But like Purdue's on right now. They're dominating, and Houston's on later, so I think I have Houston in that bracket winning it all over either UConn or maybe Iowa State, something like that.
Well, hold on to that March Madness, because I got something for you. Before we get in, I want to ask you a question. I saw this on Twitter, and I want to know your thoughts.
Sure.
Dynasty trades. Say you and I are trading. The example I got was this. Say I trade you Michael Wilson from the Cardinals, and you give to me a 2025 third round pick. Okay?
2025? Okay.
Just hypothetically. That's just a hypothetical trade. But you agree to it with a clause. So it's a 2025 third, but if he gets over 600 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns this year, it goes up to a 2025 second.
Oh, shit.
Now, you'd have to do that manually. Yeah.
Yeah, conditional clauses? I didn't know you could do that.
You can't. You'd have to do it manually, but this is the first time I'd ever heard of it. What do you think about it? Like it or hate it?
I think I like it. That's another element. I mean, Dynasty is kind of complicated. Not complicated, more like complex than regular fantasy football in the first place. And that adds another crazy element. And yeah, you, as the commissioner, you'd have to, if people are going to use that a lot, you'd have to do a lot of writing down. But right. I think I like that.
Me too.
That's kind of an interesting way to go about things. Like, okay, take one of the people I was talking about putting on the chopping block earlier, like trading. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a scenario. It would be like,
well, I was thinking like Debo. So you say like, okay. Debo was one of your guys, and like,
yeah.
Okay, so I trade Debo for a 2025 first, but if he gets 1,000 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns, it's a 2025 first and a 2025 second.
Or if he like gets less than, say, like a crazy number, like 100 rushing yards on the year, it drops to like a third or something.
You're going full chaos. I love it.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right, cool. So I like that. I like that you're into it because I'm into it too. So let's do our 125s. Ryan, start us off, baby.
All right, guys, this week I got a big, big man. All right.
Sick.
Yes. He is in the College Football Hall of Fame as well as the NFL Hall of Fame. Guys who we don't give a lot of attention to because their jobs are in the NFL are seen as kind of less boring. But they're a big part of the offense. So I want to talk about an offensive tackle this week, number 75, Jonathan Ogden.
Ooh.
All right. 6'9", 350 pounds.
Jesus.
All right.
Wow. That's insane.
Born in 1974. So naturally, he was playing football in the 90s and early 2000s. He's born in Washington, D.C. Let's see. And it says that he excelled in track and field. I'm guessing he was doing like shot put or,
yeah.
Or yeah, you know, like. He wasn't running the 40-yard dash or the 100-meter relay.
Right.
yeah, let's see. Yeah, so, shot put. That's right. Shot put and discus. So his career best throw in high school was 63.1 feet shot put. And the discus was 186 feet.
Damn.
This guy's got power. So he went to UCLA instead of the University of Florida because the Bruins football coaches would let him participate in track and field. So he saw that as an advantage and decided to go to UCLA. He helped UCLA to the 1993 Rose Bowl championship and also won the 1996 NCAA Men's Division I Indoor Track and Field championship in shot put.
Damn.
With a personal best of 19.42 meters. So I believe that's farther than his high school best of 63 feet because the meter is like 3.2.
I don't fucking know.
Right. This isn't Europe.
Yeah.
he also had an outstanding career with the Bruins football team that year. And throughout his tenure at UCLA, he started at left tackle all 4 years. In his junior and senior years, I think this is why scouts kind of got on him. His junior and senior year, he only allowed 2 sacks. That's it. That's crazy.
Goddamn.
His jersey is retired in UCLA, and he is also in their Athletics Hall of Fame as well as the college and NFL Hall of Fame. So during the 96 NFL draft, Ogden was selected to the Ravens in the first round with the 4th overall choice. So an offensive lineman, 4th overall. That means you're going to be good.
Damn right.
And what's also significant about that pick, it was the Baltimore Ravens' first ever pick.
As the Ravens?
As the new franchise. Yep.
Yeah.
At the time, Ozzie Newsome wanted to select Ogden, but Art Modell wanted to select Lawrence Phillips, who ultimately played in only 3 NFL seasons.
And murdered someone.
Yeah, and rushed for only a career yardage of a little over 1,400 yards. So they made the right pick.
Yes, very much so.
Yes. He's been a 4-time All-Pro, an 11-time Pro Bowler. He went to Hawaii every year except his rookie year. During his career, Ogden has actually caught two passes, and nice. Both are 1 yard, and both are for touchdowns.
Let's go.
Right? Isn't that cool? He also recovered 10 fumbles, recorded 10 tackles, also won a very good reputation for his smile. he laughed a lot, was good friends with Michael Strahan. He's widely considered one of the best tackles to ever play the game.
Oh, yeah.
2001, he won the Super Bowl with the Ravens when they defeated the Giants in a blowout 34-7 victory. That was Super Bowl 35. Sorry, Roman numerals, guys. you know,
that was one of the worst Super Bowls ever. That only that Giants score was a kickoff return.
That's right. That's right. So he announced his retirement in 2008 after a 12-year career. His retirement left Ray Lewis and Matt Stover as the last remaining Ravens from the team's inaugural season. At 6'9", Ogden was tied with fellow Raven Jared Gaither for the second tallest player in the NFL behind Bengals tackle Dennis Rowland at the end of his career. I think there's been someone taller since then, right?
Probably.
Wasn't there someone that was like 6'11"?
Something like that. Something insane, yeah.
Yeah. When the Ravens won their second world championship in Super Bowl XLV, what is that? 492, something like that. He was actually the Ravens honorary captain that game, which cool. I thought was cool.
Fuck yeah.
He now lives in Vegas, but get this, he's got some wrestling background, Tony. So he was still playing when he did this. So on May 1st in 2000, Ogden appeared on WWF Raw along with members of the Baltimore Ravens and attempted to win the WWF Hardcore Championship from Crash Holly.
Oh, shit.
After Holly was attacked by Steve Blackman, but he was unsuccessful.
Do you know how that shit works where, like, the Hardcore Bell
no.
was a 24-7 title? So people could be pinned and lose it any time of the day, any place, anywhere. And it leads to like backstage hijinks. Like this guy's getting a massage. Oh, someone rolls him up for the three count. And really? So after the Hardcore title was retired, they did the 24-7 title, which was the main, it was the same idea. And Rob Gronkowski won the 24-7 title.
Damn. Yep. Really?
Yeah, it was terrible.
But he still does plenty of stuff like local TV commercials and stuff like that in the Baltimore area. But like I said, still lives in Vegas. He actually has a brother that also played offensive tackle, Marcus Ogden. I don't know too much about him, but I don't think he had as great of a career as his brother. But that is beast of a man, 6'9", 350 pounds, Hall of Famer Jonathan Ogden.
That's a big fucking boy, I'll tell you what. And a legend. Legend.
Yeah.
We will be talking about no offensive linemen for the rest of this show. So I want to do mine, and I am giving you a list this week, Ryan.
List? Okay.
I'm going to give you a list on some NFL players who played in the NCAA tournament.
The March Madness bracket tournament?
Correct.
Really? I think. Yep. Oh, and now that I think about it, there's got to be a few. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So we're gonna start with Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates? Really?
Well, yeah. So Antonio Gates, you know, he played basketball. He didn't play football until after he was done playing basketball. He played all 4 years in college basketball for Kent State's basketball team, and in his senior year, they made the Elite Eight.
Really?
Antonio Gates that year averaged 20.6 points and 7.7 rebounds a game.
Damn, that's a good average for college.
Yep. So next up, Tony Gonzalez is another tight end, beast in two sports. He's the better NFL player, you could argue, but Antonio Gates is clearly the better hooper. Tony Gonzalez played for Cal, and he was pretty much a bench guy when they made the Sweet 16 in the 94-95 season.
Okay.
Jimmy Graham.
I was just going to say, I know he was a basketball player. That's right.
Yeah. You want to hear his career stats?
Are they good?
He played 4 years of college basketball and averaged 4 points and 4 rebounds a game.
Oh, so not good. I guess it's good for like a Big Ten school, but
he actually didn't play football until he was a post-grad student.
No, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Because he played two sports, but not at the same time.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a fourth tight end in the row, and it's your boy, Ryan. It's Julius Thomas.
Julius Thomas played basketball? Oh, my God. I loved him in that Peyton Manning inaugural season for the Denver Broncos.
So Julius Thomas played at Portland State, and they made the tournament in back-to-back years. And he averaged 10.8 points per game his senior year, Julius Thomas.
Not bad. He's probably forward.
Let's go from Julius to Julius. We're going to go with our first non-tight end, but also a Hall of Famer, Julius Peppers.
Peppers played?
Oh, yeah, dude. Julius Peppers was part of North Carolina's 99-2000 team that made it to the Final Four.
He must have just been like an enforcer, like on that.
He was a reserve power forward, and he averaged 7.1 points per game and 4 boards per game. Also, try picture going up for a basket when Julius Peppers is playing defense. That sounds
I'd be like, oh, here you go, sir.
Yeah.
You
can have it. Yeah. Okay, I got one more. And actually, I say this one for last because it's pretty weird. Wide receiver, Antoine Randle L.
Really?
Yep. He was a bench player for the 98-99 Indiana Hoosiers. So they lost in the second round. But this means he was coached by Bobby Knight.
Yeah, that's a historic team.
And along with Knight, when he went to football, he was coached by Bill Cowher. He was coached by Joe Gibbs, and he was coached by Mike Tomlin.
Wow. Great coaches.
And right now he's actually a coach. He is the wide receiver coach for the Lions.
Didn't I do that on an episode before? Whatever. I think so. Yeah, I knew that, yeah.
And also a fun fact about Antoine Randle L. He was drafted by the Cubs in the 14th round of the 1997 MLB draft when he was 18.
Yeah. 14th round? That's crazy.
He's like Forrest Gump, man. He was there for all the biggest moments in sports. Antoine Randle L.
I hope he asked for Dr. Pepper.
So that's just six NFL players of prominence that played in the March Madness tournament. So that's my guy.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So let's go from good vibes and let's talk a little sad shit before we do our rookie talk. The day after we recorded our last episode, the Justin Fields era in Chicago came to an end.
So sad.
Yeah. What do you think, Ryan? You got any takes?
I mean, now that it's happened, I mean, I was really kind of angry at first. We got to see him like in his basically his second to last game on Christmas Eve at Soldier Field. It was a decent game for him, especially with his connection with Cole Kmet. And he had that really long bomb. And it seemed like maybe if the Bears did a little bit more work and got him some more offensive linemen, and maybe he'd like start to blossom. But I guess the Bears just were like, screw it, let's give up on him. This experiment has failed. Let's just get Caleb Williams. And they beefed up in free agency their wide receivers room for him, and they picked up Gerald Everett at tight end. They're gonna see if this guy's the real thing. I'm if he can't do it with the guys that he set them up on offense outside of having a shitty offensive line, I don't know what I'm. He better do some awesome shit his first year.
He will. I genuinely believe that if the Bears had the second overall pick, we would still see Justin Fields as the Bears quarterback. I just think Caleb Williams is that clearly good.
Okay.
I feel bad because, you know, I'm a Bears fan. And people that are talking shit about all this is like, dude, you got to understand, man. The Bears have never had a quarterback that was anything like what Justin Fields was.
Bears have never had a quarterback that's thrown for over 4,000 yards. So they really have never had a great quarterback.
Until
this guy,
and you know what, he wasn't I wouldn't call him a great quarterback, but he's definitely the best that the Bears have ever done. So
yeah, wasn't how awesome was it watching him run for almost 200 yards in that one game, and then doing it over 100 yards like three times in the season.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome, and it sucks that it sucks that you know, he didn't get any help. But it's clear that they've learned, like, hey, look, if we're going to develop this next guy, we got to give him literally all the help we can.
I hope they draft with, like, that. There should be some good O-linemen with that ninth pick.
Well, I'm thinking I kind of want Romo Dunze or Malik Nabers at nine. Get three receivers. I don't fucking care.
Oh, well, yeah. We'll see. Time will only tell. We have, what is it, the middle of next month, right?
No, it's the last weekend of April.
The last weekend of April?
Yeah, so we'll know in about 5 weeks.
Yep.
So so sorry, Justin. We did you wrong as a city organization.
Yeah. Real interesting that Pittsburgh picked up Russell and then we're like, yeah, we just want Fields too. I don't know if they just did that to like have Fields have a good mentor, maybe with a similar playing style when Russell was younger.
We'll see, man. Because
Pittsburgh's got to pay Fields after this year. Did Russell only sign a 1 year contract?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So they're set up to pay him in his second year with the team.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe they'll get a deal. Like Green Bay signing Jordan Love to that short 1 year extension has proved pretty good for at least the next 2 years.
Sure. I will tell you, I kind of like Freiermuth a lot more now this upcoming year, now that they got rid of Deontay Johnson too. So
I'm into it.
All you tight end lovers out there. Freiermuth.
Speaking of a team that doesn't have any tight ends that they love, the Jets, they signed Mike Williams. What do you think?
I don't know what to think about the Jets. Because we have no sample size from Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if that guy's just going to come out and be dog shit awful or take the Jets to the first round of the playoffs and lose. But yeah, it's going to be a good addition because now they still have
Garrett.
God damn it. Yeah, they still have Garrett. They got rid of – who'd they get rid of?
They got rid of Mecole Hardman.
Oh, yeah. He went back to Kansas City. That's right.
And won a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure either. I don't think I care because I know that Mike Williams is fun, but he's always hurt and he's not the number one option. So, like,
and he's on the latter end of his career, which means he's just going to be hurt more often. So,
yep. And we'll see. And that offensive line, I mean, they've invested in that offensive line. So they're really pushing. They really are trying to make a run for the division this year. So we'll see what happens. There's a few people on the Discord that I like that are Jets fans. So I want them to be happy, but God, it'd be so awesome if the Jets like won the division with like Tim Boyle at quarterback.
I'm telling you, man, the hype's going to be kind of true and Rodgers is going to have a halfway decent year. They're going to make it to the first round of playoffs and lose, you know.
Probably. They're going to pull Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we have a four-pack of dudes that we looked at this week because we picked Bryson Nesbitt, but apparently he's going back to college, which is bullshit.
He decided that academia is better for his life than, you know, entering the NFL and making millions of dollars and getting CTE. But...
Oh God. So, you know what? Let's start with tight end, Ryan. Let's switch it up. Jaheim Bell. I know you like this guy, so I want to hear I want to hear it.
I really, after, you know, watching a few of these guys and identifying that Ben Sinnott's going to be very good. This is another guy that I have in high regard, I think, after I watch a decent amount of his tape. he didn't have a great year last year. He only had caught like a little over 500 yards and two TDs. Or no, was it only two TDs? Maybe it was a little more than that.
Well, I mean, he also, remember, he was the fourth option on that offense.
Yeah, right. Yeah, with Texas.
No, with Florida State, right?
Oh yeah, Florida State. God damn it. I keep getting these guys mixed up. he's freaking really good on screen passes, and that's he could thrive a lot in offenses that's going to have to check down a lot, which is why he might be really good on a team that's offense is not that crazy good. It would suck if he goes somewhere like, I don't know, would be a bad place for him. Atlanta,
Detroit.
Yeah. Detroit, obviously. Yeah. Seattle might not be too bad. Arizona would be bad because of McBride.
Well, I saw, okay. So when I scouted him real quick, I want to point out when I was reading the scouting reports about him, it said like, yeah, he could be used as a kick returner. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I watched him and I'm like, oh, okay.
No, dude, he's very versatile. He could go to a team and be like your, like Kyle Juszczyk, like utility player, just do all anything, like your Swiss Army knife in your offense, do a couple end arounds, do some line up in like the I form and get like a just run out route to the right, you know?
Yeah. They're like a little swing pass.
Yeah. He's like, he's going to be really good. Like he ran for how big he is. He ran a 4.6140, which is pretty good for a tight end. I have really high hopes for this guy. He's great in space. Yeah, good hands. I know that this tight end is not on anyone's radar in terms of like, sorry, my comparison that I'm about to tell you is not on anyone's radar for being like a crazy good tight end in the NFL, but he kind of seems similar to like Brevin Jordan.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
And I know, you know, what are you talking about? He's the second, third tight end on the Houston's offense. But, you know, that guy was really good in his rookie scouting report, too. And there's still time for Brevin Jordan to get some things done in his career. But it just kind of seemed similar to that guy's tape.
Dude, do you remember that Brevin Jordan catch when he went like 70 yards?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the type of shit that Jaheim Bell can do, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I have really high hopes for this guy, and I hope he ends up on a team where he can get a decent amount of playing time. He's not, like, the greatest at blocking, but he's better than average, I think.
Yeah. I have him. The couple things that I wrote about him is I watched him at South Carolina, too. And they used him more like an H-back and like a fullback, and he got a lot of direct handoffs. I think he had like 120 carries.
Didn't he have a better season like his sophomore year, like out of all the three or four seasons he had in
Statistically, he had a ton of work at South Carolina, whereas he had less work at Florida State. But the Florida State stuff was good to see, though, because I'm like, okay, cool. This dude's not just a gadget player. Like, he can play tight end.
Sure.
I think he should be used as a mismatch guy, I would hope. And Walker said in the chat, like, that Jaheim Bell is a very Chig Okonkwo type individual. And I think that that's probably the most accurate thing I could come up with. And like,
I like that.
Well, I like Chig, but Chig's usage is fucking awful in that stupid Tennessee offense. So I'm hoping that like, if Jaheim Bell goes somewhere, they'll be like, yo, this guy, we can use this guy all over the field and it could be a lot of fun.
Sure.
He's, I mean, Bowers is number one. I think Sinnott's number two, but for me, Jaheim Bell is my third tight end three so far in this class.
That's how it's kind of lining up for me right now. Yeah, very, very well said. I'm sure there's what we got still at least five more to talk about in episodes. So maybe we'll see someone come out of the woodworks. But right now I agree with that sentiment as the 1-2-3, I think.
Yeah. So, all right. So then let's move on. Let's go. You said you didn't have a ton on Xavier Worthy. So tell me the little you have.
Yeah, just because he's so small. And like I had pointed out earlier, we went through the list of people who have these historic 40-yard dash times, and who was out of the 10 people I mentioned, you only knew one, you know. So I don't like putting a lot of my stock into this guy. He's listed on like ESPN at 6'1", but I'm pretty sure he's only like 5'11".
Yeah.
Only like 165 pounds. So if this guy gets hurt or banged up, it's going to be a bad injury. Like, we're talking like there's not going to be any like ankle tweaking and maybe he's out for a game. Like, if he gets hurt, he's going to be out for multiple weeks, especially if he takes a crazy hard hit. His hands like aren't the greatest either. Nope. But he's going to be one of those guys that just tries and separates the field, and he's going to burn down there like on those kind of Tyreek Hill routes.
Yep.
He's probably going to get a decent amount of catches. But if there's anyone like on him, like it's going to be, or making contact with him while he's trying to make that catch, it doesn't look that good when he's got like contact, you know, when the guys sure. are,
yeah, like jamming him at the line.
Yeah. Yeah. But his like cuts and stuff, like his route running's really good. Kind of reminded me of like the way he runs a little like Jamal Charles a little bit.
Sure.
Just the way he can juke and like do really super shifty stuff. Yeah. Because he's small.
Yeah. He's got like a fluidity of movement. That's real nice.
Right. And the only other thing, he did have a minor like ankle injury at the end of last year. It wasn't anything big, and I think he played through it, but that could be concerning. And I'm not big on this guy. If I'm in a dynasty draft and that's like the best value at the pick that I'm at, I'll take him. But I'm not going to be like, he's not one of the guys on my list that I'll be like reaching for this year.
Sure. Okay.
Just because of his size, mainly.
So, some stuff
guy,
that I...
The guy burns, so...
Oh, yeah. The things that I wrote down is, I was like, you know, it fucking sucks because he's got potential to be a beast, but, like, he has drops. He can't beat the jam. He wants to block, but he can't block. He still has tools to win since his speed is so otherworldly that they have to give him a cushion or put a safety over the top to make sure he isn't just roasting people.
Sure.
However, I wrote down was that even if he's only running cardio and not getting targets, his speed has the ability to change the way a defense plays, because if he's getting the ball on a screen, a slant, a reverse, like the defense has to account for his speed. I think his value to an NFL team will be different than his value to a fantasy team, but it's highly doubtful that he's an every week fantasy starter. He's going to have 4 to 5 plays a season that leaves everybody saying, wow, but I don't see anything else to suggest that he could do the other stuff just as well.
Right. It's going to be very hard to judge too in fantasy when those games are going to happen.
Yeah. Right. I can see his ceiling is Tank Dell last year.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
His floor is John Ross.
Oh no.
My player comparison for him, I actually gave him a decent tape score. My player comparison for him was Henry Ruggs.
Okay.
I want to go with my guy next. And I want to talk about Roman Wilson.
I don't have too much about him either, just because he played in Michigan, and I love watching Michigan because of Blake Corum this year, but Roman Wilson was good, but he didn't get that star player performance for me every week because of the fact that they were just running the ball the whole time. So, but I mean, he did well. He had almost 800 yards that year, but I think he could have done more if he were on a more or less, like if he was on Washington, he probably would have been awesome.
Well, let me tell you, I am now a Roman Wilson guy. I'll read you my write up.
Okay.
Some dudes just win. And so with his size and frame, he's probably just going to be a slot guy, but I believe that he's going to have an impact on whatever offense he goes to. He ran a 4.4 140, But really, his like route running and his ability to get in and out of breaks is what gets him the separation he needs to win. He has solid hands, and even though he's not much of a tackle breaker, he can still get upfield pretty quick after the catch. Okay, the thing I saw about him that made me fall in love is how good he is at adjusting and getting open during quarterback scramble drills. I saw at least like 10 times where his awareness of where he is, where the defenders are, and where the QB was led to a big play while McCarthy was scrambling on a broken play.
Okay.
So his route running is almost instinctual. He sets up safeties and can naturally gravitate towards holes in the zone and turn quick to show the quarterback his numbers. I don't think he's elite at the point of the catch. I think his size will limit his ability to play, you know, two wide receiver sets. I don't think he's elite at getting separation, but I don't think he has any elite traits. However, he has everything he needs to be an impact player at the next level. If he's an early day two pick, I wouldn't be surprised. And I believe he's a guy that will continue climbing up boards as we get closer to the draft himself. I'm going to drop this bomb on you, Ryan. He's my wide receiver 6, which is not like a big deal. But I'm going to tell you this. You want to know my player comparison for...
Kind of is.
You want to hear my player comparison for Roman Wilson?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Jaden Reed.
Really?
You know how high I was on Jaden Reed last year, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right,
as of right now, he's my Jaden Reed.
All right, so you said he's probably predominantly going to be playing as slot player. Where would you like to see him end up? So if he's going in the high second round of the NFL draft, you're going to have a lot of those crappier teams up there. Where does he end up?
Well, I said early day two pick, but I could see anywhere in day two. So rounds two or three.
You said day two. Okay.
But I said early day two. So I don't think you're making an you're not saying anything ridiculous. I think I can see him in a Cincinnati uniform would look real nice.
All right. So where would you see him, but where would you ultimately want him to be? What would be the ideal team for him?
Pittsburgh.
Damn.
Pittsburgh.
That might be bomb. They need a receiver anyway.
They're going to need a receiver. They're going to want a guy that can run kind of what Deontay ran. I don't think that's Calvin Austin. And they let Allen Robinson's contract expired. So if a guy like Roman Wilson goes to Pittsburgh, I see some good things. Because, you know, that organization develops wide receivers. And Roman Wilson is a dude that, like, I think could be developed and become a stud at the next level.
Sure.
All right. So let's end with your guy, Ryan. Let's talk a little Audric Estime.
All right. So I got a lot of opportunities being in the Chicagoland area to watch neighbor town South Bend. I got a chance to watch a lot of Notre Dame football games this year. This guy shines in my eyes. The only drawback is a little bit on the slower side. He only ran like a 4.7 40 in the draft, but this guy's super shifty. He was the main part of that Notre Dame offense. Almost 1,400 yards, 18 touchdowns. In my mind, he's like Blake Corum, mini Blake Corum. He was the star in that offense last year. Dude, a 6.4 average per carry. Like that's pretty good. I mean, I know it's college, but that could translate down to potentially over high fours or a little over five, and if in his NFL career.
Sure.
He's a bigger guy, not the tallest. He's around 6 feet, but what I like about him is he's got some weight to him. He's like between 225 and 230 pounds. So he's gonna get a lot of opportunities to make that first hit, and you know he's going to get a lot of yards after the catch, I think, or you know, yards
after contact.
Yeah, he's great legs. I'm going out there, and I'm gonna go with. I got two comparisons. I'm gonna go Marshawn Lynch and Jerome Bettis.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm saying it.
Okay. Okay. So he's a lock to go to the Hall of Fame.
Potentially, I would think okay. so. If he ends up on a team that desperately needs a 1-2-3 running back, this guy's got potential as long as he stays healthy. Like I said, he's got that meat on his bones, so it'll help him when he gets injured, or it'll make it easier for him to recover from injuries. He's just got that beef. He's a beef boy, you know.
He loves that meat. Did you see him fucking hurdle dudes?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Like I said, the only drawback to this guy is he doesn't have like that crazy breakout speed where if he gets out, breaks that first one or two tackles and then sees an open field, he's not like going crazy down the field. I mean, he can do it, but there's more of a chance for one of the defenders to catch up to him, I think. But that's like the only drawback I saw with this guy. I loved watching his games and watching his film. It was just almost, dare I say, magical.
you and Walker are on the Audric Estime team. I thought he was good. I didn't think he was great. I think that he can block and he can catch, but I think he profiles as a two down power back. I could see this guy as like the first and second down option on a team that already has an established third down back. I hate to keep bringing people to Cincinnati here, but I think that'd be he could play like a first and second down guy there. He could play something like that in Dallas.
Dallas might be a good fit because they need someone.
He could even, you could even put him in like New York, put him with the Giants. So I think that he's got better speed than you would think at his size, but like you said, like he doesn't have home run speed for sure.
No.
And the issue is that he's not like a quick accelerator. So I don't like the idea of him, and I didn't like film of him running like a toss or a pitch. I was like, sure, no, yeah. Dude, no, just be like, run straight ahead.
Right.
I said that it's doubtful he's ever going to hold a backfield all on his own, but he could easily be the power guy in a tandem and will most likely be a short yardage / goal line dude, but I did like him quite a bit.
Sure.
My player comparison is Tyler Algier, and I also threw in a little Donta Foreman.
Okay, yeah. I see that.
I don't mind him at all. I have him over Blake Corum. I have him over Bucky Irving. I have him 2, 3, 4. I have him as my running back 5.
Yeah, he's gonna be a bruiser. He's gonna take a lot of hits, but he's also gonna give it right back.
Yeah. So. And like, there's guys that I have ranked ahead of him that if Estime goes to a place like Dallas and it's like a perfect fit, that I'm just gonna take him over because it's just, why not. All right, man. So we did the little March Madness, talked about Jonathan Ogden, we laid to rest the Justin Fields era, and we talked some rookies. So Ryan, you know what time it is, baby. Let's take a trip.
You know what? Before we take a trip, we're going to start a small little 30-second segment, all right?
Okay, all right.
And we're going to profile it every week, and it's just one little question.
All right.
Did Darren Waller retire? All right. As soon as that happens, all right, we're pulling for our boy Bellinger and the Giants. All right,
this is your Henry Kissinger.
Yep. So every week, did Darren Waller retire?
Let's find out. Did Darren Waller retire? Retire yet? He continues to contemplate retirement. We're not there yet.
Okay. All right.
Still there. All right. Now that we've done that.
All right, guys. So we had an interesting thing happen this week out east, actually. The city is famous for this event that happens every spring. And since spring came a little bit earlier this year, because like most of us know, we had a little bit bit of a milder winter. They have the Japanese cherry blossoms that bloom every year in Washington, D.C. So Let's go to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital.
Cool.
All right. Did you know that all of the cherry trees that are in there were given to Washington, D.C. in 1912 by the mayor of Tokyo as a sign of, what was it? It was like a sign of friendship. And then, you know, we dropped the bomb on them like 30 years later.
Gotcha. But
we still have their cherry trees though.
You should have to give it back.
Right. Or we should have made it like a cherry tree bomb.
Oh my God. Like,
I'm sorry. Sorry. I shouldn't have went there.
No, you know all what? Right. Truman shouldn't have gone there.
That's right. Okay. Did you know that a person of Irish descent actually designed the White House and not an American? I did not know that.
Okay.
There is actually an empty crypt under the Capitol building where actually George Washington was supposed to be buried, but he chose to be buried at Mount Vernon at his home.
Okay.
So there's actually an empty crypt under the Capitol building. The DC Metro subway is the second busiest subway system in the United States outside of New York City.
No shit.
Yeah. The person who founded this area, John Smith, who was the leader of Jamestown, ended up sailing up the Potomac River and encountered the native Piscataway people who were immediately thrown from their land or murdered by the beginning of the 1700s and
yes,
horrible atrocities. But this is America.
It is. We built this city on dead,
right?
Indigenous people. Fuck.
Yeah. Okay. So the White House. Did you know that John Adams and Herbert Hoover kept pet alligators in the White House?
Sick.
That's pretty baller.
That is pretty sick.
Except everything else that Herbert Hoover was involved in.
Right. But. Who's bitten more people? The White House alligators or Joe Biden's dog?
Right. All right, all you naysayers out there that think tomatoes are fruit, you're wrong. You want to know why?
Why?
Because in 1893, the Supreme Court ultimately decided that tomatoes are vegetables because they are served during the salad or the main course and not during dessert. Suck it.
There you go.
Vegetable.
There it is.
Right? Here, Tony, I'll let you guess this one since you know a lot about presidents. Who is the only president to be buried in Washington, D.C.?
Huh.
Let me know if you want like a hint.
I'm going to say Madison.
No, 20th century president.
20th century. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's 20th century.
Teddy Roosevelt?
No.
Nope. I give up.
Woodrow Wilson.
Ugh, fuck that guy. One of the worst.
Yep. Let's see. In spite of everyone thinking about the White House that George Washington lived there, he actually, that White House wasn't built until, let's see, John Adams was the first one to live there. That's when the White House was built during his first presidency.
Okay.
The National Cathedral out in Washington, D.C. Has tons of like Gothic architecture, gargoyles, stuff like that. But they made after, I think it was in the 80s they did it. They made one of those gargoyles into a Darth Vader.
Fuck yeah.
After Star Wars. It's kind of cool.
There it is.
Yep. Circling back to the cherry trees. In 1999, there were taxpayer dollars used for this investigation to find out who was cutting down cherry trees. After the trees blossomed in the spring, they noticed that four trees had been just like chopped down, cut down. They didn't go anywhere. They were just chopped down. Guess what our taxpayer dollars found out that it was?
I give up.
Beavers. Fucking beavers. Are you kidding me? All right. I could have just went out there and looked at the trees and told you, yeah, that was a beaver that did that. But no, we probably paid someone. We probably paid someone $50,000 to go find that out.
Oh, that's funny.
Let's see what else we got about DC. The Main Avenue Fish Market. So like last week when we were talking Seattle, and they have the oldest farmers market. Washington DC has the Main Avenue Fish Market, and it is the oldest in the United States since 1805.
Wow. No shit.
Right? Yeah. That's probably enough. Let's just get to some people. Let's get to the good stuff.
The meat.
We surprisingly have a decent amount of famous people from this city. All right. Musicians. All right. We got King of Jazz himself, Mr. Duke Ellington.
There you go.
We've got Marvin Gaye, who famously moved out to Detroit and was a big part of the Motown movement.
Awesome.
Ian McCage, from Minor Threat and Fugazi.
Yep.
Henry Rollins, from Black Flag.
Absolutely.
Jack Cassidy from Jefferson Airplane.
Okay. Jefferson Airplane or Jefferson Starship?
I like Airplane.
Fair enough.
Maury Povich, famous TV host. Got Jim Henson, Muppets fame.
Yep.
Stephen Colbert.
Okay.
And I don't know if this is true, but I thought it was. Isn't Connie Chung married to Maury Povich?
I wouldn't be surprised.
She's also from DC. And when I saw that they were both from DC, I'm like, that's how they met. Because I thought it was the oddest. From TV, I was like, oh, whatever. Anyway, sure. Bill Nye, the science guy.
The science man.
Right. Famous people from history. The only Kennedy born in DC was Robert F. Kennedy.
Bobby.
J. Edgar Hoover. Big part of Civil War, Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist.
Hell yeah.
From DC. How about Rip Taylor?
Nice.
Everyone knows Rip Taylor.
Yep.
Remember that show on Comedy Central when we were in like high school with Ben Stein?
Win Ben Stein's money?
Yeah. Ben Stein is from DC.
Yeah. Dude, he was a speechwriter for Nixon.
He was?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Goldie Hawn is from DC. Allison Hannigan, you know, from American Pie movies and How I
Met Your Mother. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Let's see. Anna Gasteyer from SNL, famous cast member when like Will Ferrell and all those guys were on. Yeah,
she was awesome.
Yeah. Dave Chappelle is from DC.
Loser.
Whitney Cummings from DC.
Sure.
Louis C.K. is from DC.
Another sex pest.
Jonathan Banks, you know, the parking lot attendant from Breaking Bad.
Yes.
That guy.
Yeah.
Dave Bautista.
Hey.
He's from DC metro area.
Love Dave Bautista.
Katherine Heigl. Let's see. Sports players. We got a decent amount. Not too many. Josh Cribbs,
wide receiver. Oh, yeah. One of the best kick returners of all time.
Yeah. Brian Westbrook, running back for the Eagles.
Yep.
Pete Sampras, a famous tennis player.
Oh, boy.
Sean Merriman.
Oh, okay, yeah. Lights out.
Yep. Byron Leftwich. Oh,
loved him.
We've got Kevin Durant, great basketball player.
Yeah.
I don't know about him as a person, but he puts up some numbers.
Oh, yeah. He's not a big fan of the Jews, but, you know, whatever.
And I save these two players for last. So which one should I do first? You know what? We'll do this one first. Andrew Luck.
Ooh. He's
from Washington, D.C.
Oh. But
one of the most famous, at least in my eyes, football players from the city. Great tight end. Mr. Vernon Davis.
Oh, can't win with him. Can't do it. Vernon Davis fucking ruled, man.
Yeah, he's good. I remember with Frisco, he was better than when he went to Washington, but
yes. I got a couple of guys.
What do you got? What did I miss?
I have a baseball player born in 1935 by the name of Frank Funk.
Oh, hell yeah.
He only played for 4 years, but that's okay because his name is Frank Funk, and that rules.
Well, but yeah, but you only lived to be like 27 years old back
then. Right, he played. He died on the field. Also, David Simon, the guy that wrote The Wire.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, dude. The Wire, all time. I was talking about The Wire with my buddy Jake, who wrote the song that's our intro.
That's probably why it's based in Baltimore then, right? Because DC's right by Baltimore.
And he did a year with Baltimore Homicide Detectives, and it inspired a book that he wrote. And then he ended up using that to help write The Wire.
Okay.
Yep. And then the last guy I want to mention, fucking horror movie icon Tony Todd, a.k.a. Candyman himself.
Okay.
Also, something I didn't know about Tony Todd, he was Ben, the main character in the remake of Night of the Living Dead.
Really?
Yep. And something I did know is that he is the coroner in the Final Destination movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tony Todd fucking rules. All right. And then I have some sister cities.
Oh, where we got?
Dude, we got some bangers this week. I hope you're ready.
Okay.
We got motherfucking Bangkok.
Oh, hell yeah.
We got Dakar, Senegal.
Nice.
Little place in China called Beijing. Maybe you've heard of it.
Where's that? Bay where?
Beijing. 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 You've got Brussels, Belgium. Solid.
Nice.
Athens, Greece.
Okay. Got some Greek culture.
Paris, France.
Okay.
Pretoria, South Africa.
Sure.
Seoul, South Korea.
Got Beijing and Seoul.
Oh, dude. Yeah. They've got Accra, which with Ghana. They've got Sunderland with the UK, which is bullshit. Why is it not London?
Yeah, right.
Really step your weight up.
Capital to capital.
Speaking of, I saw there's all that weird shit with Kate Middleton right now or something like that. And
you got cancer.
I heard that they interrupted March Madness to like talk about it on one of the channels. And I saw a tweet that was like, I thought we fought a war so we didn't have to care about this.
Wait, in America?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. Well, I guess I was at work, but
no one works this week.
I know. I almost thought about taking yesterday and today off just so I could like sports bet all day, but I was like, no, I don't want to waste hundreds of dollars.
Right. And then real quick, Rome, Italy, Ankara, Turkey, Brasilia, Brazil, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and San Salvador, El Salvador.
Damn, those are like some bomb cities.
Right. It's totally because they're the nation's capital, not because they're like a sick, like amazing city.
That's true.
So
yeah, I heard Addis Ababa and I'm like, isn't that the capital of Somalia? But
nope, Ethiopia. So that's DC.
Yeah, sorry.
That's DC, baby. And that's episode 125.
Nice. 125.
Yeah. Great job. And then next week we'll be back with our fourth Shane. Craig did a good job holding it down. Yeah, so it's peak off season, guys.
Yeah, one more week until we find out if Darren Waller retires.
That's something to tune in for. So until next time, we'll see you guys around the bend. Have a great week. Enjoy your lousy smarch weather.
Go March Madness.
Yeah, go March Madness. Goodbye.
Lover of Derek Carr.